Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
You're listening to Power Athlete Radio, a podcast dedicated to empowering your performance every damn day. Join former NFL pro and Power Athlete founder John Wellborn as he dissects the greatest minds in strength, conditioning, and more. Joining him is everyone's favorite coach and hair model, Chris, a.k.a. Tex McQuilkin, Power Athlete's Director of Performance. So whether your goal is to be the hammer, destroy mediocrity, or simply move the dirt, you've come to the right place. Now with the warm-up done, let the gains begin.
This episode is part of our Move the Dirt series, designed to empower you with the tools to move towards your goals. Move the dirt is something we say a lot here at Power Athlete. The dirt is the dirt. It's that lazy, fearful, bitch mode voice in your head that says too tired, too busy, too old, too injured, too whatever. You can't reason with it, but you can move it. Some days you get a big ass shovel in your hands and it's easy. You're strong, you're motivated, you're king of the world. But some days you get a spoon and you still got to show up and move that shit anyway, rep by rep, spoon by spoon. So long as you're moving a little dirt every day, you're digging in the right direction. If you're sick of the dirt dominating you and you want to be master of your own self, walk the Power Athlete path with us. Visit powerathletehq.com/training and start moving the dirt today.
Here's the data. 80% of nutrition resolutions fail after just 1 month. What we help make happen is you moving the dirt past February 1st. So here's the deal. If you want to attack the year with purpose, stay the course and hit your goals, you need Power Athlete programming. It's been battle-tested at the highest level and gets results for every level of athlete. As a special offer this January, if you commit to the cause for a year, you get the full Power Athlete experience for less than a dollar a day with an extra $200 of content for free, a one-on-one consultation to help you set your goals, and a nutrition protocol of your choice. Visit powerathletehq.com/training and start moving the dirt today.
Power Athlete Nation, welcome back to our Move the Dirt series. Tex McQuilkin here, the Director of Performance at Power Athlete, and I am joined by my good friend Jim Davis. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Tex. It's good to be here, dude.
Yeah, man. And this is your fifth appearance here. So Jim Davis, longtime friend of the podcast, and myself and Callie, leadership and organizational development expert who runs a host of educational opportunities through strength, including Nutrier. Did I get it right?
That's good, man.
Strength and conditioning, the largest high school strength and conditioning program in the nation, and it's getting even larger, so I hear, as well as the Good Athlete Project, a nonprofit organization. Move the Dirt series, so this has been going on all January and will continue throughout afterwards, and we brought you in because you have the opportunity to connect and empower with thousands of athletes daily. New faces coming into your school every single year. And I know that you are a purpose, goal-driven individual, and you impart this onto your athletes. So today's focus is all about goal setting. As we kick off the new year, many people are setting themselves up for failure, and we're going to put them in a position to right that wrong so they can adjust their aim to accomplish and achieve what they're setting out to this year.
Dude, I love that. That was a great intro. And I think it's worthwhile work. I'm really glad that you asked me to be here for this. I think it's the heart of so many things, including moving through the cloud of existence. And I'm going philosophical and big real fast. But I think, you know, like even just what you just said is such an, there's an important distinction even in that. I think there's a difference between one's purpose and one's goals, you know, and even just getting clarity around that idea would be really helpful. And that's one of the things that I try to help folks do.
Then let's start there, man, because I had the opportunity to work with high schoolers as well. So people just getting into the understandings of who they are as individuals, as well as understanding of what it takes to achieve something, whether it's just as simple as executing what they need to in practice or creating a reality that is college, creating a reality that is a future career and setting them up that they can do anything that they want to, and introducing this belief for a lot of my guys for the first time. And it's crazy. So, man, what's the direction that you provide for just setting your sights on something to aim at?
That's so good. Well, I think there's, I think the best way to look at goal-directed behavior is to think of it in tiers. And that's one of the things that we try to do with folks on the front end as often as possible. Now, I'll just go with this. Sometimes you have to provide a fun experience for folks so that they buy in, and then you can start breaking it down and talking about goal-directed behavior and articulating these things. Once you've got a little trust and they like being part of your space, you don't want to go overly academic too early. That's obvious enough. And that holds whether it's youth, high school, adult, whatever. But once, as soon as we can, as soon as our group is receptive, we will try to break it down into four pieces. And well, five pieces, really. The top level, and this is sort of the unspoken, unseen, behind the scenes idea that can never fully be out of sight, but is not appearing always in day to day, is purpose. So what is that big, difficult to name thing, super compelling, super important, super fulfilling idea that rests beneath or beyond all of the day to day work? Now, I'm going to set that aside because it's a little more abstract, but it has to be there eventually. And whether that is to maximize the potential of young people to be, I was just working with a coach the other day, to be a blessing in the lives of young people using athletics as the vehicle, you know, whatever that might be, that's sitting just over here for the moment. The goal-directed behavior. So then we go from purpose, we go down to goals, sub-goals, behaviors, habits. And habits, well, I'll start with goals. So goals could be, you know, that's like the more traditional idea. Like, I want a championship. I want to win X, Y, or Z. I want to be a starter. Like, that's the stuff that's usually top of mind when people talk about goals. Sub-goals start to move into the operationalizing of the goal. Meaning, if I want to, you know, and we go through workshops to do this in a complete way, but if I want to be a starter on the football team, say, so now I'm taking an athlete's perspective. If I want to be a starter on the football team, that might require consistent attendance. Hold on, I got a thing here. It might require consistent attendance to the weight room. Fair enough. And daily work. So the sub goals might be something along the lines of, I want, you know, 90% or higher of workouts, hypothetically. So I've gone from getting stronger and working in the weight room as a goal, okay, or rather a starter, and it keeps getting smaller and smaller. 90% attendance in the weight room to help achieve that goal. And then all of a sudden, when you can habituate those behaviors, now you're really on to something special. So, you know, I actually thought of this. I thought of this in a documentary the other day, Morgan Freeman, right? It was one of those, I forget what it was called, but it was like The Universe or something, some nature documentary. And there's a gazelle, cheetah matchup at one point. And it's like, man, what an interesting way to apply this framework: purpose, goal, sub-goal, behavior, habit. Because they just, you know, it's non-conscious. They have such a simple existence. It's like the goal in the immediate is to go and gazelle, right? But it's funny because what's that? Or and for the gazelle, it's yeah, get away, right? Outrun this thing, zig and zag and out to somehow. But it's, you know, the cheetah, the thing that I was watching, you know, the goal shifts almost immediately when it doesn't catch it. So the goal, when it sees the gazelle, is go full, things can get miles in seconds. It's freaking, it's otherworldly. You know, nature is a beautiful and complicated thing, awe-inspiring. But as soon as after it for however many seconds, then when it does not get the gazelle, the goal becomes rest immediately. So the gazelle is out of sight. The goal becomes rest, and then of course the behaviors are almost automatic in a creature that's not quite as conscious as we are. Mm-hmm. But when you look at that in its entirety, even just that little moment, the purpose, you realize, start to realize, well, this is purpose-driven behavior. Purpose is essentially nourish day, provide for the cubs that were in tow. You know, that like the purpose is much higher than the goal, which in the immediate was gazelle, but then seconds later was rest. And that's where I think goal setting becomes fairly complex. Unfortunately. So that's why we do these workshops to sort of what's what and why. Anyway, that's, I don't want to go too far with it, but I'm happy. I'm sure happy to, if you've got any more specific questions, but purpose, goal, sub goal, behavior, habit.
Yeah. The most difficult is purpose. So we're going to build up to that one. And within the behaviors, we can start with habits and behaviors, because part of this is identifying barriers. So what is going to get in the way of you executing said habit that could potentially lead to a destructive behavior or a behavior that's going to take away from that? So even on this habits level, it's creating some self-awareness for the athletes or the individuals that are goal setting right now. And what is the process now for you creating self-awareness for your athletes that they are in control of their actions? You know, it's not the coach's fault. It's not their parents' fault. It's not their boss's fault. More often than not, they put themselves in a position for like the negative action due to poor behaviors or just bad habits, being late, etc.
Yeah, totally right. I would even distinguish the way that I try to share with people is behaviors are distinct in how conscious you have to be to enlist them. Meaning, like at first, if I'm trying to eat well, if I'm on a new diet plan, you know, it's behavior. I'm selecting things, and once I can habituate that selection, you know, that's where you're really on to something. I don't even need to think about it anymore. This is the kind of thing I lean toward when it comes to, you know, lunchtime, dinner time, whatever. I don't have to think that hard about my morning workout. It has become habit. You know, and so that's when you can make those processes, the daily behaviors, nearly automatic, and you've gone through sort of due diligence to make sure they align with goals and purpose. Now you're talking about a sustainable system that is like, that's now all of a sudden your life, you know, that's a life is what you call it. That's the construction of service of one thing or other. I'm mm-hmm. thinking particularly as an athlete, but, it's funny that you mention that, because the envisioning of things going wrong, like not showing up to a workout because, say, you can't schedule your ride backed out or whatever, or honestly, because the draw of video games or something else was more, to envision how it could go wrong is actually a super important part of goal setting. And that's not an often talked about thing, but I'll give you some acronyms and some teasers from what we do. When we talk about goal setting, we often go through an exercise which includes, identifying a meaningful goal or a meaningful, mm-hmm. and then that with ambition, like what is the thing to do? Say it's be a starter team. We have people go to both ends of the spectrum. What's the best possible way that could turn out? Like what's the best possible scenario? Also, what's the worst possible scenario? You know what I mean? Yeah. That's it. And honestly, it's I would love to be positive all the time, but that's just not how people work. Like having some fear of what could happen if this doesn't go well, if I don't enlist this behavior routinely, is a really important part of actually moving on the goals that you've selected for yourself.
Yeah, and to build off that, man, I still am an optimist, but overly optimistic for a long time. And dude, this is the spoils of sport. I am a sport coach, and I'm aiming to bring everybody up all the time to focus on the next play, the next opportunity. and trying to think of a path back into the game, trying to think of a way where we can claw back. Okay, we need this to go our way, this to go our way, so let's execute one thing at a time. And that bringing the guys up and then applying that to the goals that I'm creating for life, it's almost put myself in a position, forcing myself to ignore the negative and only think about the positive. That then, of course, led to the challenges and different faces of the negative that I didn't prepare for. So now aiming with working with athletes and speaking to and utilizing sport to help them craft their ability to focus and visualize what can happen in a game. How are they going to now respond when something doesn't go their way? So it's visualizing and utilizing that tool for sport that I should probably do a better job and aim and can aim to do, that is connecting it to the goals that they're creating for themselves and what could potentially go wrong if they continue to show up late. Not the same that my guys do, but as an example, if they do things that are not representative of the character and the person that they want to be.
That's awesome. First of all, just the way that you're thinking about it, you know, sometimes I worry that people go to conferences or listen to podcasts looking for like the quick fix. And the truth is, especially when it comes to goal-directed behavior, that it has to be a pretty regular evaluation of what's going on, what the goals are, and the distance between those things. And that's happening nonstop, whether we recognize it or not. In fact, just kind of on that line of thinking, I think most of the frustration that occurs in people's lives is not coming from like deliberate acts of malice or anything like that. It's an expectation. It's a gap between expectation and what's actually appearing in the world. And if you can reflect that back to athletes, saying like, it's a really powerful motivator. If you say, "Hey, dude, you don't have to do this, but you told me you wanted XYZ outcome." You know what I mean? And can you explain to me how this behavior, maybe it's skipping a workout for whatever reason, is going to lead you to that outcome? Can you explain that to me? So really, you know, I've evolved my coaching style over the years, because it's no longer, pushing my values onto someone. Now, I'll be honest, like I still lose my voice some days. Hey, you know, we run a high standard, high intensity weight room. Okay, that's how it goes. But it instead of saying this is the way I want it, and man, when I hear coaches talk like that, it really bothers me. Instead of saying like this is how it's got to be, this was like when in my day, this, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's more like I'll address a team. We just had one in the other day. They made some unsafe decisions in terms of like setup and things like that. And they're an awesome group of guys. But this is a national caliber team. Legit, and I'm not being over the top. Like they had an incredible fall. I will name them, whatever. It's our crew team. And they're an awesome bunch of guys. They were the highest finishing public school at head of the Charles in the fall. And they've got a legitimate shot at a national championship in the spring. So they made some decisions that were unsafe. I got a little elevated, but really the closing remarks on the day were just like, you told me that this was your goal. Okay. You said this explicitly. And here's what I saw. And if you think I'm mistaken, I want you to help me fill in the gap there. But I don't think you're upholding your own standards. So your behaviors did not match your goals, guys. So look that in the mirror, be honest about it, come back tomorrow and let's fix this thing. Let's right the ship. Boat metaphor there for crew team.
Oh, I get it. And how do they respond? Was there
they're locked in. They're locked in. And look, and sometimes if they don't really mean it, because it's fun to say I want to win a national championship. If they don't really mean it, that won't be as resonant. That was a surface level goal. The deeper stuff, the more purpose and meaningful stuff, the fear of not getting it isn't there. Some teams you'll say that to. And then I'm telling you, we'll debrief as coaches after a session and be like, I don't know if they're really on that level. I don't know if this is a state or national caliber team, because they don't respond. This team just did happen to respond. So that's always really fun to work with. But yeah, that's what it is, man. And I've said this probably on the podcast before. I know you and I have talked about it. Even just maybe it's just on the phone. I don't know. But the difference between being a motivation and being an imposition as a coach is in positions, impose their values on the group of people they're working with or one-on-one. And people who are true motivators align with the motives of the people. How do you do that? Well, exactly what we're talking about. You have to identify what their motives are. They want to, you know, enter goal setting processes. They want to do this, that, that. Okay. We're the folks that are going to help get you there. Folks, but by folks, I mean like me and the.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The evolution I see of this, where you noted the sub goals into purpose. What I find often with working with youth athletes or people just getting into fitness and movement is their goals that they create are usually sub goals. And then we have, and there's an awesome opportunity to create so much more on what they view as their peak. Let's say it's lose X amount of pounds. Let's say it's run half marathon. Well, this is a sub goal, a box to tick on the way to something greater. So now in a different level, like how do you start to say, okay, and then what else? Because the biggest problem that we see in adult fitness is people set a goal, they reach it, and their behavior immediately snaps back to the negative behaviors that put them in the heavyweight position, into this position. There's almost this feel of failure because they accomplished something. Now, it's not a failure. They just need to continue to look up versus look back down at the good times and the food and whatever the hell got him in the position and got him there. So now speak to that of now expanding and gaining confidence from an accomplishment, but there's still more to achieve.
Yeah, that's so smart. And that's exactly right. Enter the discussion of goal versus purpose, right? That people, just the nature of human behavior, we need tangible goals. So maybe in the pursuit of being healthier, I want to lose 10 pounds. Fine. But that's a goal. Like the purpose would be lifelong health and wellness. You know, it'd be something bigger and more abstract. And the being able to identify the bigger idea, you know, as even though it seems abstract, is the benefit of that is once you hit a goal, you come back to the drawing board and hit it and set a new goal, right? Mm-hmm. You're constantly working. The metaphor would be like, you know, because the world is round, despite what some listeners might think,
and there's all co-host over here, but yeah, go on. Right.
There's the horizon is never ending. There's always a horizon. And based on just the limit, the curvature of the earth and the limits of human sight, it's about 20 miles out. So there's always a new horizon. So there's this sort of perpetual, if you're walking toward the horizon, it's a constant pursuit of something somewhat abstract. Okay. So that's like the purpose. I want to keep moving. But like once you move into your like nearer space, now you start to set goals. Like, okay, maybe I'm trying to get to the horizon, but my sub goal is I want to get to the tree line before it gets dark or something like that. But you could apply that to I want a lifelong health and wellness. Part of that is going to include lose 10 pounds by March. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, once I get to March and I've checked the box, if I don't have anything to return to, holding current weight is not that compelling of a life's mission, right?
No, so not so, sexy. Right? Even though it's sexy, it's not a sexy goal.
It could. There you go. It could very well be sexy, but it's not. But it's not compelling enough. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to it's not fear driven enough. And I don't want to. It kind of goes against a lot of my coaching. I don't think you coach or lead by fear. But I do think in the like we said already, the process of goals includes what could happen if this doesn't go right.
Yes.
So you have to have kind of alive at the same time. Now, so that versus purpose thing. And it's funny that you said that. I was in a conversation about this the other day. Essentially, a lot of people do start at the behavior level, which is really interesting. It's important because if you don't identify what behaviors are going to lead to the goal, you can never operationalize the goal. So mm-hmm. They've got to be there. But if you start and linger in the behavior, what you get sometimes is I would call it toil, meaning like you're working towards something, but you're not even totally sure what it is. You know, in the professional, you know, take it outside of sports for a second. like, I can't tell you how many people, you know, as my own sort of executive coaching and variety of leadership engagements have as that roster of clients has grown, I can't tell you how many people I meet. And of course I'll keep this anonymous, who are just kind of putting one foot in front of the other in a professional sense. And they're not necessarily bought into their work. And they, but you know, same, you know, this is an obvious and lame story, but it's like, I got a mortgage, I got a car payment, I got a family, so I'm going to work. I can't not work, but they're so not aligned with it. They're sort of just moving. And that's one of the things that I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to do is align professional purpose with personal purpose in some of these people's lives. But you know, that applies to anything. It's mm-hmm. really hard. It's really hard. I think back to like when I first started coaching, I can't believe the uphill climb I set for myself. Cause I was like, I'm working a football season. And this is before I was doing a lot of goal setting and providing some, hopefully work in the area. It's hard to keep someone's attention, football player, for a nine month off season with mm-hmm. flicker of a candle of like, hey, because we got something next year. You know, if you're 14, a year is a long flipping time. So I don't know that it wasn't structured enough back then. So I was fighting some uphill battles. Anyway.
But yeah, in a similar sense, I guess my professional career began at the Department of Justice in the wellness department. I was still coaching college lacrosse, so I had an outlet and I had this performance-based culture. And then I had people that would come down to the wellness center at the DOJ just to forget their stress. And they didn't want this young, strong, strapping, amazing jawline kid to tell them what to do. It's just like, shut up. I'm going to go run 10 miles on this treadmill so I can zone out and forget about my day. And naturally gravitated to go all in the performance because I had the opportunity that I felt empower and still instill confidence in young athletes versus folks that, man, it was going to be an uphill battle to try to even change the behaviors, let alone have them create a purpose outside of, you know, the one foot in front of the other career that they've embarked on as a government lawyer. Oh my gosh. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, that's a really good bit of self-awareness on your part. And I would even say, you know, the approach that we usually take is like, it's assessment, not judgment. Meaning I wouldn't even judge the guy who wants to go in and just zone out. The approach that I would advise any coach to take is like, dig in, figure out why that is. It's like, there's another sort of routine, almost cliched line that we always use, but it's like, you got to meet people where they are to take them where they need to be, you know? So maybe for a little while, hey, if you want any, you know, why do you like this? You like to zone out? If you need any support from me, I'll be over here, you know? And then maybe a couple weeks down the line, it's like, if you want to add any variation, but still stay in that zoned out level, I got you. And maybe, you know, and you sort of build trust and evolve over time. But anyway, sorry, I cut you off, I think.
No, yeah, I didn't give it that time. Another opportunity presents itself and I ran with it. So cheers to that opportunity. Bringing this back to athletics, one sub goal I also find that becomes, you know, the initial goal for a lot of athletes, I want to start. I want to make varsity. Then what? You don't just make varsity. We need you to have impactful, meaningful, either practice time or meaningful minutes during competition. Otherwise, just being on that squad and not playing sets you back for your athletic potential. And explaining this and helping them understand it's just not just a matter of, you know, reaching that summit. This is just one step before we continue to climb the mountain. Dude, as soon as you make said team, the journey just began. Now it starts to get hard.
Dude, so often you have to work to get the opportunity to work. And that's true of life all the time. And that's why having purpose, you know, being sort of the foundational piece of setting makes sense. So there you go. The kid who is so dead set on making varsity makes varsity. I accomplished my goal. And I would purpose their potential mm-hmm. of a meaningful team to be part of all these things. Then you can start to wrestle with and adapt around whatever might be thrown your way. Look, varsity, and you're a quarterback and you're behind an All-American. What's your, you know, is that a stopping point? You know, from a pure coaching perspective, I would say, dude, okay, your job, you know, is multifold, you know, depending on what your goals are. Maybe you try a new position. Maybe be the best freaking backup quarterback in Texas football, high school football state, you know, history, you know, mm-hmm. because preparing the defense is going to take you toward your team goal. And you said that was important. So getting the people who like really relish the purpose behind it, like it gives you a little bit of resilience against setbacks too. You know, I want to make my team better. I'm not going to go out there and start on Saturday night. No problem. Because there's six other days of the week where I'm going to be the best freaking player I can possibly be. Oh, and by the way, and whatever it might be, ready in case that break, in case that guy goes down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's an essential component of being part of a team. That's why you want this interesting balance between being clear about what you are and being about what the goals are, if that makes sense. Like if I say I'm QB1 and it doesn't happen, the journey can't be over.
No.
Right? Exactly. So you reevaluate goals and behaviors in the presence of the overarching purpose, and giving people that limits the rigidity that can cause setbacks and downfalls and ultimately potential yes. limiting behavior. And
these sub goals, they become benchmarks to make sure you're well on your way to accomplishing the goals that are then underneath that big purpose that we're driving towards. So now leveling up on top of that, man, what are some keys? How would you write? How would you articulate? How would you guide your kids to speak to themselves through literally writing, handwriting the goal that they want to accomplish?
Yeah. First of all, and like there's a little bit of science behind this, but anyone who says I have the science is stretching the science just a touch. I can tell you what's backed by research and has worked for our kids. Ultimately, I love a good whiteboard, first of all. So what we usually do is we'll start with a team setting and we'll say, what's our overarching purpose here? And we'll go abstract. We'll say, we want to have an enjoyable, competitive soccer season. We want to have a good time playing soccer. We want to be able to go toe-to-toe with anyone, you know, sort of big overarching things. Then we start to talk about goals. So what are some of the goals? Well, there's a rivalry game. We want to beat Princeton. We want, we want to be subsectional or beyond. We want a trophy at the end, whatever it might be on the goal level. Then we start going just below that. And it's like, well, we want to be strong. We want to be fast. We want to be resistant. And it's funny, dude, like they're smart kids. So maybe in the context of, you know, me being in the room, they are leaning toward the strength and performance development, but the mm-hmm. things that they say at the end, of course, at the end of this workshop, the reveal is fantastic news. We've got a place where we can build all of these capacities. Yeah. Anyway, but they are bright. So they say things like, we want focus. We know that focus is important, and they can down the final stretch, whether that's PKs or whatever, down the final 10 minutes of a game, if you can focus better under pressure, all other things equal, you got a good shot of executing. Mm-hmm. And that's we try to work into our work as well. So then we get to the behavior level. All right. And how do we build these capacities? And we're doing this all on a whiteboard in front of the whole team. How do we build these capacities? Well, we want X amount of days per week. We expect, you know, a percentage, you know, attendance rate of whatever. Now, there are some components at the high school level that belong in this discussion. It's going to go public. There's no repercussion. We can't hold them accountable. This is a fully, you have to opt in, which is another interesting component of this goal thing. You mentioned at the beginning, you know, we've got the biggest high school strength program in the nation, probably the biggest program in the nation, and it's all optional. So if we're not creating compelling goals that are driven by the athletes, that doesn't happen. So anyway, we get to the behaviors. Okay. So we think we're going to come this often with this kind of frequency. We're going to give full intensity. These are the sort of the sub goals. And then the habits we don't even talk about really in the meeting, that's for them. Because what it is like all of a sudden, and you've been there, dude, like all of a sudden you get to a place where maybe for 2-3 weeks, you have to talk to your friends. Now I can't go to 7-Eleven after school or whatever. I got to go to the weight room, or I can't, whatever. You have to make decisions to bring that behavior to life. But eventually it just feels weird not to. Mm-hmm. You know, you habituate the behavior that's going to work its way back up the ladder to fuel the purpose. Right. And when you get rid of your default setting, that's when you're onto something. And because once you have that, once you put something in the default setting category, I'm in the weight room this many times a week and I work while I'm there. Once you don't have to think about that, now you've created capacity to think about other goals and other components of this process. Because, you know, I would also say that sometimes in goal setting, people things at once. They think of, well, I want my sleep, I want my nutrition, I want my mindset, I want my relationships, I want my academics. You think of the whole cloud of ideas at one time. That can be really challenging. Mm-hmm. So we try to check a box, habituate a certain set of behaviors, move on to the next one. Okay, now once we've got the exercise piece down or the training piece down, now let's talk about what healthy sleep looks like and and the role it plays in this whole thing. And we habituate sleep behaviors potentially, or whatever it might be. That's just as an example. But to ultimately get to your question, the next stage of that includes going through a similar process for yourself. Once we come away from the board and sort of the team workshop, now it's on the athlete, it's on the individual to really operationalize the sort of bigger concept that we all went through together. So hypothetically, if I've committed to the team goal of a certain level of attendance in the off season, and I'm fully bought into that framework, the purpose, the goals, the whole deal. Now I start to have to look at what will this take in my life? Meaning, do I have to schedule a ride? Do I have to bring my bike to school? Do I have to, you know, and you start to individual habits to fulfill the team expectations. And that's really, and there's of course, there's a learning curve on that too. So we try to support kids whenever they have a challenge, but that's really what brings it to life. And I've told the story before about, we had this really earnest young man. He was a big linebacker on the football team, tough, stoic looking. And he really wanted to prioritize his sleep. So in these processes, we ultimately get to the point where we find, you know, he did this evaluation of his own habits, his own behaviors. He wasn't getting enough sleep. He noticed that one of the reasons he wasn't getting enough sleep was that he didn't want to go to bed because he was fueled by a whole bunch of chocolate. Every night after dinner, this is just a thing that happened in his life. His mom liked dark chocolate. They kept a lot of it in the house. Every night after dinner, he wanted something sweet. He went for the dark chocolate, couldn't control himself, and ended up staying up an hour later than he intended to. So he made a very simple behavioral strawberries for chocolate. He still, you know, it as simple as that. It's so individualized, but he took sort of the higher level concept, brought it into his own life, did some self-awareness, some evaluation, changed a very simple behavior. That behavior became a habit. Once it did, he moved on to the next thing.
Man, this is what I love about sport teams and being on the sports side of things, is because the season, goals are inherently built into it. And then the beauty of us as hardworking individuals, coaches, impact athletes, not sports, right? So us working to craft the character and build and lead them, it's an awesome experience to be a part of, especially the inherent nature of goals and competitions and championships. The challenge, and now this is a challenge for you and I to work through a little bit, is creating this top level, this purpose for now the layman, the individual. Maybe they're former athletes, maybe they're just on one of the Power Athlete training programs, powerathletehq.com/training, and they need to keep this enthusiasm for moving the dirt daily. They got a lot of things going on in life. How do we create this opportunity to establish a purpose that will keep them moving the dirt?
First of all, I love that term. It aligns so well with all this stuff. It's that's a habitual. It's the sentiment is spot on when it comes to all the research that would support this kind of work. So I love that. Yeah. But sometimes, you know, what's, if you can habituate it again, like you just said, you've got to have some kind of light, some kind of push, some kind of motive that's a little bit bigger than the day. And I would say, well, I can reflect on my own purpose, and that might be helpful. I had this thing I went through, you know, before I started doing these workshops, I did a lot of, well, just to be honest, a lot of self-reflection, mindful training, a lot of the development of self-awareness in a variety of ways. And I essentially came to this truth of my life where I'm pretty goal-directed. Like, I want to accomplish things. I also recognize that there's a hollowness there. So a lot of what we've already talked about is in part inspired by my own life. In fact, I remember a day very specifically, probably toward the back of my athletic career, where the only thing I was on was, what's the next award I can put on my wall? You know, and what a shallow, hollow feeling that was. I'm telling you, once it clicked with me, I was like, I felt sick about it. Anyway, I needed something more compelling. The truth of goal-directed behavior is a truth of me, for whatever my neurochemistry is, my predispositions. So I essentially, this is one of my purposes. I want to set my sights on something that has meaning and is interesting and fulfilling. I want to go accomplish it. And then I want to share the methods with other people. And that's just, and I want to turn that over as many times as I can. And ultimately, if I want to be really cheesy about it, I want to make people's lives better in the process. I'm fully, we're back to the philosophical. I just believe that we're here to serve other people. Like, relationships are everything in the world. And I just really believe that. So I want to set my sights on something, accomplish it, catalog the process, pass it down to the next person. Anyway, so that's part of my purpose. And I think education, if you had to distill it down, education is at the heart of my purpose. Mm-hmm. So whatever I do in this way, I do a lot of self-checking. Can I relate it back to that purpose? I'll share a quick story. So when this article comes out, I'll send it to you. We're putting an article in the Olympic Coaching Magazine, and which they're great people and they're really nice to ask us for stuff. But and it's all about essentially how our powerlifting team came through the quarantine, the pandemic. But it's all coming back to the purpose aligned with goal-directed behavior. So we in 2019 won a national championship in powerlifting. We've been going to this national tournament for 7 consecutive years, and we're 0-for. We did okay. We had some kids do really well. But we never won. It took us 7 years. Now all of a sudden we win it on both the guys and the girls side. And we were dead set and on defending, making sure that it wasn't a fluke, you know, and we had a good roster returning. We were really excited about it, but it was in March. You know, we would have gone in March of 2020 is when we got on a plane. So obviously that fell through. Mm-hmm. That stretched into 2 years. So the question we had to ask ourselves was, now that the trophy is gone, you know, why are we still training? What are we doing here? You know, so thankfully we had always been about this model. So our purpose to stay healthy, stay strong, stay together and grow, that didn't go anywhere. Pandemic or no pandemic.
Right.
Stay healthy, stay strong, stay together and grow. So we can still, and magical important pieces of training is like, you can make a 1-pound increment growth. You know, you can measure these things that we're doing, and you own that. You did. That's empowering to give to a young person, whatever. Anyway, so we're measuring that. And what does that mean? We weren't perfect, but it's the reason that we had kids moving around the suburbs of Chicago with backpacks loaded up with stuff, filling laundry baskets in their house with heavy things they could find just to do rows. You know, it's the reason I have this one particular kid in mind. He took the water bottle off the you know what I'm talking about? The little water.
5 gallons.
And he's doing goblet squats. What's that?
Yeah. 5 gallon water. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And it wasn't because, you know, we knew we weren't even going to have a shot at winning a trophy again for a little while. but it was this sort of underlying purpose that was driving us. So we're checking in for Zoom meetings where, you know what I mean? As soon as we can do outdoor stuff, we're doing outdoor stuff. And, you know, and I can't tell you how many times I said, I talked about growth and togetherness. And I'm like, it was cheesy. As someone who's not afraid of being cheesy, it felt even, it was the only thing we had to lean on. And thankfully we planted the seed before all this happened. Now mm-hmm. I say that anyone who might be a skeptic of like soft skills and purpose, I say that because on the back end of quarantine to our kids to reflect on, we started competing in a USA Weightlifting High School Throwdown, which is a national tournament that allows you to video your max efforts and send them in to the folks at Colorado Springs to be evaluated. We competed three times in this national competition. We won all three. There was a state championship for powerlifting that was all outdoors. It was actually really like there was a lot of ingenuity. It was really cool over quarantine. We won that. We won a state championship in the middle of a freaking global pandemic. And then as soon as we could get back to the barbell, we head down to Oklahoma City in spring of 22. And I won't spoil the ending quite yet because the purpose was still the driver. Mm-hmm. And we're down there in the spring of 2022. Kids are sweaty and tired, you know, and the meet all of a sudden ends. The meet directors, they go process the results. This can be a long process if anyone's ever been to a big powerlifting meet. While they're processing the results and identifying individual and team winners, our kids, dude, I get the chills just thinking about this. Our kids behind helping carry bars and weights, dismantling the platforms, carrying them out to the trucks of these people, picking up litter around the place. There's pills and Red Bull cans. Dude, it's so cool to think about this. One of my assistant coaches, who's actually used to be an athlete of mine, who's become an incredible friend, he's had multiple knee surgeries. Down on his knees with a crowbar, helping to dismantle the platforms. Like everyone's just helping. Like this purpose together. Like all the soft stuff that we talked about was on full display. Mm-hmm. Anyway, process. We get to the back end of this, and you know, once again, we're national champs on both the guy's side and the girl's side. So, I say that because the purpose-driven behaviors. The good news is if we didn't win that trophy, we've still done something incredibly meaningful. And also for those who really performance driven, it also happens to play out pretty well on the performance side, mm-hmm. you know? Sorry, I got nostalgic about that for a second. It's meaningful stuff, but, and you know, because they cared about each other, they cared about the work and that overrode, the draw of any trophy. But they did come home with a trophy.
Well, they truly believed in that purpose. And I think that's an important part, whether, you know, we're talking to an athlete out there or an individual that's following the programs or listening to the podcast. If they set a purpose up, I mean, they truly have to believe in it. And if it's important.
Right. So good. And I would even say, you know, you and I both work with adolescents. How many adolescents do you know that just sort of fall into stuff? Like how many people are saying, I want to be a starter for the team because they think that's what their parents would want for them or, you know, their uncle gave them pressure or something like that.
Texas athletics, dude. It's real.
Dude, they make movies about it. Yeah. I mean, it's real, you know? So that the dynamics of that become even more complicated, of course, but yeah, it's got to resonate with you.
And I'm glad you said that, man. And that's something for everyone to explore. And this could be on the health, the wellness, the fitness side of things. You know, are they willing to achieve these goals for themselves or are they doing it for someone else?
Yeah. I mean, people overuse Simon Sinek quotes, so I don't mean to, but like if you don't have the why, you've heard his concept start with why. If it's absent, however you want to frame that, purpose, a why, they're essentially the same thing. It'll fold catch mm-hmm. up to you, no doubt.
Yeah. And I'm glad with the team you mentioned making it, you start with the fun purpose, the enjoyable side of things. I think for just the average adult success, making this enjoyable, you know, fitness, training, moving dirt, that is going to lead to success as well. Because the moment training starts to be a chore and something I have to do, they've already lost that. So creating some form of, it's not the weight lost, what can you accomplish that then leads to the weight, losing the weight. Going on this hiking extravaganza, skiing, pickleball, like what is connected that is able to accomplish if you've crossed off that sub goal.
Yeah, that's right. And it's so individualized. Some people get off on the discipline and that's totally fine. But more often, you know what I mean? They love
to discipline does equal freedom.
I've heard that, but you know, and for some people, you know, some people love grilling chicken and steaming rice, packaging the meals for the week, and that's fine. Legitimately, if it works, it works. Like that's the other truth. But more often, to make it an enjoyable experience and allow for some creativity that all circles around a central concept, that's when people really enjoy it. And I would say, like, that's what Power Athlete does so well. People like being a part of it. It's like a fun, cool thing, right? That's an important piece of it. The Power Athlete community is a meaningful and connected one, connected through, in fact, you guys do something that we talk about all the time. We call it serious fun. You know, it's this balance back and forth. Like you can't be all fun, right? Then you don't get results. It can't be all serious because if it's not fun, who freaking cares? You know, so how do you balance this thing? Serious fun. And you guys do that pretty well, I would say. You got comedy, you got novelty, you got effective programming, you've got discipline. Oh, and by the way, if you're not feeling totally jazzed for it, well, move the dirt anyway.
Mm-hmm.
To use the metaphor, maybe it's just a spoonful.
Harry Heppenstall does an amazing job with that messaging. And within the Power Athlete Academy and the coaching of athletes, we do talk about goal setting, and it's evolving and helping people go from these results, numbers-based goals, whether that's weight on the bar, weight off the waist, and leading them to more of process. Hey, we're going to show up X amount of days a week. You know, if we're speaking to the Grindstone or the Lean Enable programs, it's a choose your own adventure. You owe us 2 mandatory days a week, but then you owe yourself 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, whatever you got in there, and you get to pick the workout that we provide. You accomplish that day. Eventually, once the process becomes a part of this, it becomes your identity. You are a power athlete. So we're leading them down this into this idea that they are a power athlete. And that's what we want. We want you to utilize what is accomplished in the weight room for doing awesome things, whether that's playing with your kids long-term, you know, doing rec league sports, or for our younger athletes that still have got the opportunity to compete, freaking going out there and being the hammer. And now being the hammer even's got its own depth. And this is the beauty of Harry's work, right? Being the hammer as a coach, as I'm some washed up 36-year-old, I'm not going to strap up the helmet anymore, but I can be a hammer as a coach, meaning making an impact on my athletes and community. So a lot of depth within these, man. So I do have some final questions here for you. Welcome to the Move the Dirt Motivation segment with Jim Davis. Jim, we're going to rapid fire these questions. So dig fast, not deep. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Awesome. I know you expressed a little bit of this, but what does move the dirt mean to you?
Yeah, move the dirt to me is habituating meaningful behavior. Just show up, do it every day.
Boom. Now, what are you digging for in 2023?
I'm going to write a book. And whoa. I've been going back and forth with it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing it. I've been writing articles. Ages, I write every day, which makes me think I'm a writer.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm just enthralled. I'm joyous for this endeavor for you.
Appreciate that very much. But you have full clearance to laugh at me if you ever feel like that's appropriate too. But that's it, man. Yeah, I'll finish a book.
And how much digging is that going to take?
So I thought about this, and you inspired me. by asking, you know, by sort of prepping me for this. I'm gonna write a page a day. And I've decided that on my best days, it'll be a page that is part of a coherent line of thought chapter. And on my worst days, I'm going to crank out 800 words or so and just get it done. You know, maybe I stockpile it and use it for something else down the road. Maybe not a page a day. That's how I'm going to move.
That's moving dirt. I'll send you a move the dirt mug, man, so you can just stare at it on your darkest days writer block.
Dude, I would love that. I'll put it on my desk. I like that. And I even see your skulls, the memento mori stuff. That matters. That'd be a good reminder.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I often think of Rocky III just because it's an amazing film and Apollo Creed screaming at him, man, that there is no tomorrow. When he's freaking down and out in the training, just the passion is not in there. I will get after it tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. We got a lot to accomplish with Power Athlete, man. So aiming to keep myself motivated with stupid 80s movies, but that's just what gets me going. I realized.
That's a little boost, a little juice. I love it.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate your time. As always, this is an invaluable conversation and I'm glad we get the opportunity to do it, you know, at least a couple times a year, hopefully in person in the coming months, since John and I got a little travel to Chicago or at a conference somewhere. I always run into you all over the world. So
all over the world. Yeah. I can't wait till you guys come to Chicago. Are you going to Charlotte?
I am unfortunately not able to make this one, but speaking of goals. Yeah. I got a lot of speaking goals this year and I have an awesome idea that last year at the NSCA Tactical, I teamed up with an old buddy who also happened to be a firefighter and a doctor of exercise science. Great combination. And he and I put together a presentation for NSCA Tactical. This year, I'm going to apply with our good, dear friend, Ms. Callie Hinsman. And she and I are going to, since she's a police officer, piece together a movement and then a practicality because she's out in the field doing the awesome things. We're going to work together to co-present, and that's the big goal. So I need to work with her to craft the message that aiming to deliver within the 55-minute talk that then appeals to the tactical population. So that's takes a little creativity since there's two of us, but you know, that's the beauty of working with her for over 10 years, man. We know each other well and can collaborate and create, and man, she's utilized the training well, so hopefully mix in some real life stories into this.
I think it'll be amazing. That'll be one to see for sure. And that's not only do you guys have a great relationship, at least from what I've seen, but I think you circle around a similar purpose. I think that's why you're allowed, like why collaborating and being creative together is a task that's not so difficult.
Oh yeah, big team play over here, man. Well.
We tell her I say hello, please.
Always. Yeah, dude. I'll give her a ring soon just to catch up and make this magic happen. Cause that is a big goal, man. Not only because it's in Vegas, but I've been fortunate to speak there 3 years in a row and I want to make it 4. So gonna knock that out. Cool. All right, Jim. If people want to follow your journey and your athletes training, Where can they follow you on social and where can they learn more and find your articles and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So at Good Athlete Project on Instagram, two, I think, resource-driven websites are beyondstrength.net. That's a big one, beyondstrength.net. And actually one that's really focused on translating leadership lessons from the weight room and athletics to all sorts of areas of life would be bedrockedu.com. So those would be the three major places: Instagram at Good Athlete Project, beyondstrength.net, and bedrockedu.com.
Excellent. And dude, while I got you, there's something that I've been exploring that I think you'd be interested in, and just ideas spinning around. I'm reading this book all about introverts, and I'm talking about not just people that colorful, like playfully describe themselves as introverts. I mean, like truly quiet people that in any form of group setting, it's just nerve-wracking. And I completely relate to this. And then leadership. So there's a form of introverted leadership. And I want to take and I want to apply this to coaching and educate coaches, because due to going back to coaches teach lessons, not sports. I don't remember your exact quote, but certainly do give you credit each time. But this concept and idea of like, hey, this is the quarterback. They are the leader of the team. Hey, this is, you know, this position. They need to be team captain. We need them to be vocal. And it's this misinterpretation and representation of leadership in a team setting based off of a sport or a position. And then there's this the natural temperament of the performer, of the athlete, of the kid. So now aiming to identify it, forms of introverted leadership, right? We know the classic lead by example, but now how do we empower and educate the coaches and the kids to continue their rise in performance and potential? Because I've seen a lot in my athletic career that, you know, coaches force these pressured, communicative roles on quiet kids, and they collapse, they disappear, and then there's this loss of potential. Now, I was fortunate to just be a quiet kid that then grew into a leadership position, 3-year captain in college, and, you know, didn't even learn to speak in front of the team until I was a senior. Even that was nerve-wracking. But then, you know, seeing in the just the high school level as a coach and as a player, you know, forcing these quarterbacks, is, I mean, it's mainly in football here in Texas, but forcing these quarterbacks into position that they, you know, skyrocket to sophomore, junior on varsity, and then just the pressure gets to them and the coaches blame the kids. However, I, from my perspective, they may not have been put in the best environment to succeed. And on the flip side of this, this is something that John and I speak often about, right? In the absence of true leadership, false prophets appear. And this is from, that's a quote from John about his career in the NFL. And then I experienced this as well in college, those very, you know, extroverted, those loud kids that the team just gravitated to, the, you know, the cool kids. But then as soon as the going gets tough, or it, you know, maybe we're winning in a season and all of a sudden the season takes a turn for the worst, when we need a leader, those guys are no longer having fun and they're quiet. They're disappeared. Or they make the most boneheaded plays and mistakes and start barking at the defense, or, you know, whatever. Start pointing fingers. So, like, I'm putting it into just the thought machine, the process to aim to understand this. And I found a researcher, or a woman named Susan Cain, that I'm very appreciative of the work that she's doing. But then just a throwaway line from one of her books of this introverted leadership is now just, it is sparked, it is motivated, man. It's really juiced me up and found some more purpose in my day to day, because I've witnessed this my entire career and never had a way to articulate it. And yeah, man. So I'm setting my sights on that for 2023, to understand this, maybe present on it. I don't know, man, but I want to certainly apply it with the kids I'm coaching. But there's something there that just,
there's no doubt. That's really good. And I would even say that, to really pull all that together in the context of, like, if the purpose, goal, sub-goal, behavior, habit, if that's sort of the spine of operations, now you begin to craft around it based on mm-hmm. context and skill sets and natural dispositions and things like that. And I think that's what I'm hearing you say. Like, you know, it really goes back to, it's funny that you brought that up. I've been thinking a lot about the difference between influence and leadership. And especially the younger, the more muddy that water probably becomes. Mm-hmm. The best leader on the high school football team, the one that has the guts to stand up and shout and yell, it probably is perceived that way. But that's, I would call that, you know, they've got enough social confidence to be influential. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're leading.
Exactly.
And I would even say that, you know, and you can't lead. And here's, I'll add this to the equation. If coaches are frustrated about that, you know, are they clear on the direction in which they are supposed to lead? Because that's what leadership is. It's like, look, that's where we're headed. Come on, folks. Like, let's go. I'll show you how to get there. Let's go. Like, that's leadership. But in the absence of direction, you know, it's just influence. And then, like you say, influence is too subjective to riding the waves of success or defeat or whatever the might come along. So
yeah,
it's a really important thing to be in tune with.
Yeah. And seasons are long. So you really find out who some folks are in the throes of it. And that's the beauty of being in a coach in a leadership position, is you're helping bring them up and show them how to act when, you know, the ball doesn't bounce your way and certain things, you know, are outside of control. What can you focus on? Yeah, man. And helping teach these lessons so they can take it into their lives after their athletic competitive window closes. And even though there's going to be folks like you, Jim, that push it out as long as they possibly can, traveling the world, going to Spain, playing a little ball.
I love, yeah, but that was it. And that was it though. Part of my purpose, like, I wanted to enjoy my time playing football and maximize my potential. And I think I did. So I feel so, at the end of the day, I feel fantastic about it. You know, and for me, that wasn't the NFL. For me, that was indoor football in Europe. And I enjoyed it. And that's about as much as I had, you know, so I feel real good at the end of the day.
Yeah. And as you should. I recall a quote from my high school lacrosse coach: you're going to be remembered for what you're not supposed to do. And there's a couple sides to that, meaning this number one recruit that's going out there, and then they were supposed to be, you know, this NFL star. However, they didn't make it, so they're remembered for that. Or you're the walk-on. You're the, you know, this small-town Texas lacrosse player that gets the opportunity to go play in college, you know, and start and be a captain for 3 years. Not supposed to happen. However, was aimed to accomplish that. So it was an interesting thing, quote, that I held on to, man, and appreciated for that gentleman, but aimed to pay it forward just like he did with our time, myself personally with lacrosse at the high school level, dude. So, dude, I love goals. I love speaking with you, man, and I appreciate your time. I'm glad we got this little extra rant as well, and we'll aim to keep each other motivated as we're moving dirt throughout the year. All right, Jim, thank you for joining Power Athlete Radio. Bye.
This episode of Power Athlete Radio is powered by Train Heroic, the most immersive strength training app experience on the market.
We've built our online training business by partnering with Train Heroic and helping us deliver all of our world-class training programs like Jack Street, Field Strong, and Grindstone. To learn which Power Athlete training program best suits your goals, head to powerathletehq.com/training.
And if you're a coach looking to build a business with the best tech and training, go to trainheroic.co/powerathletehq.